Welcome to What's Your Sign? I'm Julia Loken.
I'm Stevie Goldstein.
And I'm Otter841 of this podcast.
Oh my God, I've been getting so much Otter content. Wait, that's a Otter hand.
That sounds like a handle.
841 is the one that's stealing surfboards.
Oh. Yes.
That they can't catch.
Yes.
Oh.
They keep trying to catch, I think, her, and she keeps getting away, and I think it's awesome. They're not gonna like do anything to her. They just want to study her, but fuck it. Like, I love that FU energy.
I love it.
Do otters have rabies? Are they raccoon-esque? You know what I mean?
I don't think water animals really get rabies. I'm not sure, but I think this is unusual behavior, so they do think there's like something of the nature wrong. Because she just keeps stealing surfboards.
It's like, is she like a zombified rabies, or does she just want to hang? Is she just the wild surfer girl of the summer, a la Sarah Brady, a la
100%? I think it's the second one. I mean, the memes are hilarious because people just keep, every time she steals a board, they keep like adding one onto the memes and stuff, and it's just like so fun to watch wildlife do its thing.
Yeah, well, this has been a big trend of the summer, is the sea life really claiming vessels, man-made vessels.
So one of the things they think it might be is this, it's called domoic acid. It's something that is in a certain kind of algae, and it's poisonous to seals and otters, I guess. But they have had a lot of seals dying from it recently. So I guess that's why they're trying to capture her, to like treat her in case.
And see if that's what it is. I wonder
that's
if she's
one
trying
of
to,
the things they think it might be.
If she's trying to get on the boards to like get out right to in. Be safe.
She's like taking bites out of the boards and stuff. It's very unusual. Yeah.
I did look it up. You are correct.
Her chart.
Rabies is yes, her chart.
Like, how'd you get her birth time?
No, rabies is uncommon in water animals. It can happen through like human encroachment and encounters, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not common. But they do carry other diseases. And
of
I
course.
I mean, their bites can be quite painful, but not necessarily, let's see.
Nothing.
Yeah, they can
get infected,
carry diseases, but it looks like mostly just bacterial kinds of things.
We can pop an antibio and kick it.
Yeah. worth it for up close contact with an otter. I've been getting a lot of otter content lately, and I'm here for it.
They're cute.
Have we talked about Otter Dynasty?
No.
It's a show. It's a show on HBO Max. It's called Otter Dynasty, and it's following these like groups of otters, these otter clans in Singapore, in this Singapore Bay, and they are matriarchal. Otter clans can only be one breeding female who's in charge of the whole thing like at a time, and so it's just like voiced over. It's just footage, like nature footage of these otters swimming around, eating fish, you know, living their lives. But
I wonder why you're getting so much otter content. You're watching this show.
I've only watched one episode.
But they have
sounds
like
you've seen a lot of episodes.
They're long episodes. They're too long. But it does have like voiceover, and this one otter clan is like the queen, and there's another one who's like, she killed my mom and I'm gonna come take over. So it's like very dramatic.
It's fun
stoner boner watch.
Okay. I'm in. And also same as the orcas, matriarchal. So there's like we're having some threads here too. It feels like, of course, the like women led animal groups are like, just get the board. You know, like I feel like the dude groups are like, I don't know. It's like stopping the waitress, like if your order's wrong or something. It's like, you can just get on the surfboard, or like you can actually just take this rudder off. Like, I don't know. It's like that take charge, like mom energy. Like, just let me do it. Like, I can get this done.
Well, I think too, like, we're experiencing so much of that, like, in our court system and in, like, in humanity. And so I think having attention on those things that kind of reflect different societies that treat women differently or whatever. And I know they're animals, so it's not really like one to one that way, but it is, it, I think it does help us like open our eyes. And so I think looking at it is really important, especially for people who, you know, the people who don't look at it, who are the people who are enacting the bad laws.
But well, there is so much argument for things being like the natural way, and I feel like when you have these examples, you go like, oh, actually there's a lot of variety in nature, and there's a lot of examples of different things working in nature, so we can't be like, this is how things have to be. Obviously the quote-unquote natural way is a like patriarchal, you know,
heteronormative
cisgendered white supremacist argument, but I think it's interesting to go like, actually that's not at all natural,
right? Like there's gay animals for sure. Like,
and there's animals that change genders,
yeah, that
too.
Transition, like, and yeah all sorts of things.
Dude, I saw like some caterpillar that like pretends to be a queen ant and then gets brought into the ant kingdom and then just eats all of them because like all like they don't know, and then it blooms into a beautiful butterfly. Also, is this voice over narration like a la Homeward Bound? Like, it's just in their heads.
Yes, it's just in their heads. There's no, it's no like CGI anything, which I like a Homeward Bound style. We're just hearing the animals.
Just recently rewatched, you know, I'm a big Letterboxd freak. Homeward Bound rocks.
I've started it and I like can't bring myself. I know I will.
It's
like
emotional.
Sad. But I started one because it's on Disney Plus, my nighttime sleeping aid.
Iger head over here.
my nighttime
sleeping
aid. Yes. And I was like, maybe I'll put Homeward Bound on it. Like, just like the music started and I was like, nah. I can't do it.
Well, it just shows you don't need bad CGI. The internal monologue is enough.
The best.
It's so effective. And the music was so good. I mean, Sally Field's performance as Sassy is just Oscar worthy.
Absolutely.
Shadow is so old and sad. It's so good. My new recent obsession, I think like the rest of the internet, is the non-player character.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think, should we do that? Is like, what's your sign? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw a girl yesterday that made $500 from just doing it for 2 hours.
Yum. Hot dog. Too spicy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me and Pablo were like, because we've contemplated, like, do we get a sugar parent? Like, do we get into amateur? I don't know. Like, these trying times we're in. This is a good reminder. Sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/ What's Your Sign podcast, to support this independent podcast and get bonus episodes and community on our Discord. It's fun over there. We're talking about lots of different stuff. Anyways, now I think we'll maybe at least try out becoming non-player characters. But how do you, there's got to be like, I can't do this for like one person watching it. Like, how do they advertise, or do you just do it consistently? I don't know if anyone has the secrets to being a good non-player character.
I know for sure with TikTok and YouTube, you have to have a certain number of subscribers to go live.
Oh,
so I
you're
think
right.
That helps you not have those. Remember Instagram lives during COVID where there'd be like two people and you'd be like, I can't log off now. I'm the only one watching or whatever.
Okay, you need 1,000 followers on TikTok.
Yeah. So, and I think
follow us
YouTube,
on TikTok.
Maybe.
Yeah. TikTok. Oh, that's a good goal.
That's a good, let us go live. Can everyone listening just go follow us on
follow
TikTok?
Follow us on TikTok.
We'll go like bear with our millennial asses. Yeah. We'll there's stuff on there. But we'll put more stuff. If we can go live and eat fake shrimp.
Yeah.
My hell dream. Yeah. I think this Pluto Capricorn retrograde is just like, I just know this is all the stuff that's going to be so Pluto Aquarius times. And I know we talked about this whenever we were talking about Pluto, probably on the Pluto Aquarius episode, I think we had. But it's just like, wow, the Aquarian, this 29 degree ish, I don't know if we're exact on that, Capricorn, it's just been so quite literal. And we're all blurry in the reality of like wanting to be robots and robots wanting to be us. It's just fascinating.
I think it sucks too, because I think, well, a lot of those Capricorn themes, I think we're all so over it and so it feels over. So tired, but it's that 29 degrees too. So it's happening in conjunction with stuff leaving signs. So like the end of a sun sign season or whatever, it's like on the way out, it's making aspects, and we're already again, sick of that energy, ready for the new in whatever space it is, you know, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Moon, whatever it is. And then it's like, oh, there's like a tough aspect before we get to that new thing. I think it proves tough and making those cycles and stuff. It's interesting because I haven't studied astrology long enough to track this kind of thing over where Pluto's in the middle of a sign, and it's like the middle of the month feels really hard for some or whatever it is.
What degrees it's in, the degrees it's affecting.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting because going into today's topic, we're gonna have the sun opposite Pluto, obviously, the day before Leo season, because that will be 29 degrees of Cancer. And so I think that like kicking off the next sun season, and it's probably happened a couple times already, like it being right at the edge of the season, whether it was 0 or 29.
Oh, I wonder being at the end and having some of those ones be a little more quote-unquote positive aspects, those sextiles and trines, if that corresponds at all with like going on strike or having the, you know, those kinds of things.
Like it's Pluto in and of itself to be like, yeah, we're like finishing things off with the, like, you know,
don't forget. Well, also it's like, don't forget. I'm always in the shadows.
I'll be there again at the end of next month, psychotically waiting for you.
Yeah. So just forget. You'll never forget.
I know we're going to have this again, aren't we? That's just so too potent. Yeah. Even with like the strike stuff, I think it was like some Australian dude actor, you know, the convo now being like people like just hating on strikes of like, don't you want more? Like what? Like, or this like Hollywood disconnect and this like Australian actor's like, oh, right. You caught me. I was like on Dollface or on this thing. And yeah, I teach 3 workout classes a day because I'm a millionaire. Like, what? Just like look at the fucking facts of it. Look at the car I drive. Like, this would be retirement money for somebody back in the 80s, and it's not anymore. So like, they're not that. It's like what the phrase, like, you have more in common with like a unhoused person than a billionaire. And it's like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And even like in acting or Hollywood, it's like these are a lot of like the amount of stars there are, like a Margot Robbie or whatever, it's such a small percentage of all these other freaks. So I think it is just even that very Capricorn like facts. Here you go. Why the fuck would I be going through all this if this wasn't an issue?
Yeah. I mean, I worked as an on-air correspondent for, I won't say which comedy festival, but you could probably find it online or guess.
Oh, yeah.
And I worked at out of a hub in Hollywood. Again, I won't say where, but it had valet. And watching the artists come in with like having to give instructions to the valet because their car doesn't run a certain way or their cars are old or whatever the thing is, and watching the media and production people come in with their brand new BMWs and like drop it's a push to start, like, you know. And it's like I that was such far away. It wasn't like, oh, this kind of older new car or what. It was like they were far away, and I was like, oh, this is interesting because these are the people that are entertaining your crowd, like these are the people that are people are here to see. And so how is it that they have so much less? And I think, you know, comedy in general, we all know, doesn't pay very well, but it's just, I don't know, it's just sad to watch that.
Yeah, well, it's like the other thing is like no one has like a poster of David Zaslav, you know, on their on their wall being like, love these exact people. This is you could probably also figure this out, but my husband worked for a now defunct app that was really trying to be a media competitor. You might remember the name of that, the really bad name of this one, but they were working on a talk show and the exec producer was like, we need you to call whatever sweeps homeless encampments because the execs are coming. And it's like, we're in fucking Hollywood. Like, you want us to like shoo away reality mm-hmm. for these people to spend 1 second walking through a door? Go fuck mm-hmm. yourself. Yeah, I think a lot of, and why do I keep the name protected? Why? Like the fear, again, like the fear of the suits and whatever.
I don't know. But we don't say names of people we talk negative about on this podcast generally. I, mm-hmm. like even people we know personally. So I don't mm-hmm. think it's that like yeah. bad to not
maybe
say
once.
It.
Yeah. And yeah. And I know we have like far reach and also like this is not you. Whatever network you're thinking of, even if it's the wrong one, it probably still
they probably do
one.
The same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It still probably is that one. So we're it's still right. It's like I have so many fucking screenshots saved from my time working in entertainment that I'm oh I can't, when it's time,
let loose. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so ready. But everyone's trying to be decent, and I keep hearing like the entertainment industry referred to as a machine. Which is true. It's like we are all workers on this machine. And if you're saying like we actually want to get rid of the entire machine, that's just not what's up. I'm saying with UPS drivers, it's like $42 an hour is $90,000 a year. And that's like, you know, like, yes, you should be making more if you're making less than that. Like $90,000 in 2023 ain't rich.
Yeah.
Like that's just not rich.
Yeah. And, well, anyway. It's like it is a machine, but it's like the people that say the machine is the problem are the like not aware that they're also either not aware that they are also part of a different machine and that the machine actually like is functioning in a lot of ways or like functions who's running it. And it's like the people that say we should get rid of the whole thing or like that it's not are the fucking
mm-hmm.
Oz. Fucking Oz mm-hmm. behind the curtain bullshit.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
All right.
But this Leo season, I've been really liking this Cancer season we've been in. It's been, there's highs and lows, but that's been 2023. It's been hot. Mm-hmm. It's been a high, low, hot, cold kind of year. And I'm not too surprised with, you know, moody, fluid Saturn and Pisces time, but also just like the state of the witch. Just state of the world shit, but I think I'm kind of looking forward to this Leo season as a whole. There's something that feels like getting back to a basic, simple rest space.
I'm ready for some fire.
I'm scared of it.
You're afraid?
Well, I think the Uranus like popping in again, the fixed sign stuff, it all feels a little bit triggering to me. Just because we like I'm a fixed sign and I've had so much of it. But I'm sure it'll be fine. I know that in LA it's like starting to get really hot too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that just puts people on another and it's like sun
dude,
sign season,
hot.
Fire, like hot and yeah. It's just like that kind of stuff freaks me out. Because I like to, you know, get in bodies of water and hope they're not evaporated mm-hmm. from global warming. but yeah,
truly
I'm a little
hot.
And like we have two inner planets like going retrograde and retrograde shadowy during this time. So I do think there's some stuff to be like trepidatious of. And I do think that I don't know if we said this on air. I don't think we did. But like managing your expectations as far as what those big summer activities look like and how much mm-hmm. money we're spending and like those kind of things are we're talking about people on strike and that trickles down to restaurant workers and bar workers and sanitation workers and people
everybody.
That actually yeah I mean people that their job is to go clean up after a movie set that's not shooting like
mm-hmm.
it affects them too and so and it makes the like it makes everything feel more competitive because people are working to try to do different jobs. And so I think having a plan of like, instead of whatever, like cutting spending and saving instead of like, you know, doing what you normally do. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't invest in yourself or do, you know, look for work. But if work's not actively found, let's work on maybe it is having to have a little bit of debt for now. But like working out a plan to overcome that instead of saying like, I'm never ever going to get in debt. Like, that's not realistic for most Americans. It's just not. And so like figuring out your way to work yourself out of it instead of or going into it saying, I'm not going to spend more than X amount. I'm not going to be able to, I don't know. Like, and the money that I do go into debt for should be investing in myself. It should be, you know, making something so that I can make more money in the future.
Yeah. And it's hot tip too for those, which I, this is a reminder for myself, is see if you can get your balance increased to offset the your monthly the amount of total debt as well. Because boy, does that, when I was trying to fix my credit to buy a car, I was like on the hacks of like, how the fuck do I do that with also not paying anything? Like, how do I offset it? But no, I think this, a lot of this was mentioned in the Venus retrograde episode. And I think that's, if you haven't listened to that episode, I would, because that's, it's going to be Venus retrograde the entire Leo season. And I think in the sign of Leo. So I think that really colors the vibe, but totally. I wrote down similar things like I see like simple pleasures. I just going out just for ice cream, not to get back to non-player, like ice cream. Yeah. Like just ice cream, or like I wrote to like going internal, working on your craft, very Leo Venus retrograde things. It feels like, yeah, anything that's not too heavy lift, right? Because it's like, will the payout be worth it ultimately? And I think, yeah, we're seeing a lot, even of course on TikTok, you know, our new national news source for now before it's banned, kidding, but maybe not, of like, you know, people getting to the Amalfi Coast and not realizing like, oh, like it's hard to get around here. Like, this is designed for people with expendable cash. Like, it's not like the same as just popping into Rome and leaving, you know, again, you get to travel. Cool. That's great. But things, it's like all these things that looked easy probably had a whole like entertainment, probably had a crew and production behind it that made it look so easy. So I think too, just even knowing like, how do you do that? Is that real? Like, what is this? How much does that cost? Like, is there a way, because I mean, yeah, the Venus squaring with all our, you know, Jupiter and Taurus and Uranus and Taurus, money, inflation, the recession we're not naming. I know we've been talking about it all year, but it feels very like at a head at this point in 2023.
I think too, this summer we might see more political campaigning. I mean, it's already ramping up. And I can definitely see the Leo season kind of feeling like a, as a selfish politician, feeling like a time to get my message out and like do these things. And it feels kind of counterintuitive to the astrology. So we'll see what that's met with.
Yeah.
But we could, I guess we should start off and start burning through what some of these aspects are.
Let's start.
The first one being on July 21st, the sun. Oh, I already talked about that. Mercury square Uranus on the 23rd of July.
And the sun will move into Leo on the 22nd.
On the 22nd.
Like hours after or Venus same day as retrograde. So technically it starts at the tail end of Cancer season, but brings us into Leo season. And we have Chiron retrograde on the 23rd as well. And so that square off with Mercury, you know, any fixed things are going to be squaring at some varying degrees Uranus. And I think Chiron retrograde and Mercury square, like right out the gate. Yeah, it just feels like a, like an ego check or something, or like a checking yourself of maybe what you share, what you overshare, what you undershare. I think these people hitting the political campaigns, we're already seeing it with RFK Jr. or whatever his name is. It's just like, yeah, I guess keep talking, you know, like actually maybe you should continue speaking because people should know the heinous things that you are saying. And even if all these wackadoos agree with you, like make your points known. So I don't know. I think that that might, in a twisted positive way, be good for people to just run their mouths because you, so you can know showing, what aligns with you and what doesn't.
Showing people who they are.
Show your whole ass.
Yeah.
I think because this podcast will come out the day after that happens, if you can reflect on yesterday a little bit, and then I think Mercury Uranus, you know, it can be technological snafus. It can be like that thing that pops up on your computer before Mercury retrograde shadow happens to help you kind of get things in order. So if things are coming up yesterday and obviously it's Mercury square Uranus day, you might not have had time to update the thing or do whatever. This might be a good recheck-in this Monday if you're listening the day it comes out to like, oh yeah, I gotta go do that thing, or I gotta actually go take my computer in before the retrograde shadow starts to happen.
I think it's a good reminder, and I agree with everything you said too, of this idea of like, what are we letting like take our own peace? How are we letting that pull away from our energy and everything? Because I think that you're right. It is like, this is peak hot. Like, there's only so much we can do, and we need to make sure that we are using all of our energy, resources, whatever word you want to input there, in things that actually are important to us, that are sustaining, that are life-giving, that are affirming. And I don't mean like be head in the sand, not think that these things are going, but I think like, yes, we're going to be seeing political campaign shit. We're going to be seeing all kinds of, you know, CEO blurbs that are like, oh, don't do these things or whatever. And so how do we maintain our own kind of peace of mind, peace of body, peace of, you know, heart, whatever. And I think all of those are just reminders, like you said, to kind of be staying in tune with what is here for me right now? What do I need to do right now? Are my like basic needs met? And is the sun still shining? Is this thing still going? Like, let's keep on that, because this other stuff is noise and meant to distract us from taking away that like that stuff from us. And it's like, nah, you're not stealing our sunshine, you know?
Yeah. And I think I like, Venus is retrograde, so it's, what are the rules? Like, what are your rules, and what rules are you following? Because I think that's something that we definitely over the last few years have been up and down with, and it's making our own decisions based on our own morals and stuff. But it's like, what are the rules? Like, I went to Universal Studios, I had to ask my friends in the guild, like, hey, I'm thinking about going tomorrow, like, is that something that is considered like, you know, bad to do during a strike? And their answer was like, no, you need to look at the guild and what they advise to do. And that's not what they don't say. Stop going to the movies. There are people that work in the parks and in the theaters and stuff that they still want them to have a job. It's not like that. It's just that we're not supporting the production of these things until like our needs are met. And that might change in the future. They might, if things like get to a head, they might say like, hey, stop going to the movies or stop doing this, but that's not what they're advising to do right now. They don't want their projects that they worked on to make $0 and prove the points of the studio heads or whatever, that it's volatile and all of those things. So it is a balance, and it is knowing what the rules are and figuring that out during this Venus retrograde period.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder too for anyone who's a content creator listening. If you look, these studios, they're not budging on very basic human things and their plan is to starve out everybody, which I hope that doesn't come true. And I hope this wraps up hopefully no later than the end of Venus retrograde. But I could see them, and there's already been, you know, social media posts shared about like, they'll probably turn to content creators who are non-union to act in these projects. Don't please don't, like, of course brand deals are so different, whatever, but yeah, just, I don't know, the awareness too of crossing those picket lines, being a scab, and also
knowing the guild knows.
They'll find out, like, it's not that hard, especially because your little thirsty ass is probably gonna promote the fuck out of whatever the hell it is that you're that you're in. So try scrubbing that, it ain't gonna happen. But I know, and this is no spoiler alert for me, who normally works in unscripted and reality TV in my day job, the talks are unionizing. I could also see this. These movements are going to inspire so many more. And we're already seeing it with Starbucks, with UPS. I mean, there's like certain library districts too, I think like in Idaho right now or something like that. But yeah, I mean, again, I think it's good time to get the information, to learn more, to see how it was done. Again, like, Venus retrograde signs for new launching isn't the best. You know, you do what you got to do. But I think this is a great time to like figure out like, how the fuck do we actually do this? And what do we have to change in order to do that?
On the 27th, we get a Mercury conjunct Venus at 27 degrees and 11 minutes. of that Venus retrograde, but I think that that's another one too, of it being kind of like, I don't know, patience is a big word that I think is the name of the game in this Leo season. One, because it's a fixed sign, it's the sun, you know, thinking of the lion too, of like waiting for the right moment. Lions aren't like out chasing all the time. They're most of the time chilling and laying and waiting. And I think that having that like Uranus square, and then a few days later we get that Kazemi with Venus. And while that might not be, because it's retrograde, it might not be like the best, but I think it's like potentially a confirmation that like holding out was the right thing. Don't be so quick to sell yourself out, I think, on all of these transits, because a few days later there's going to be something kind of supportive that goes, nope, you were right to stand your ground on that. You were right to prioritize your well-being over this other thing, because something was proven false. Something was proven. There was more information that got revealed or something like that. I could definitely see us getting some info coming out on a Venus retrograde that would be like supportive to yeah, keeping things to yourself or whatever.
As a background to the 25th to the 28th, Pluto's squaring the North Node, and they're both the North Node moves backwards anyway, mm-hmm, and Pluto's retrograde, so they're kind of like chasing each other, and especially that node being freshly in Aries, I think it having that difficult aspect of like not knowing where things are, not knowing where to go, not knowing like what exactly is the mood, as like kind of a theme for those 3 days, because it's going to exact square at least twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And very, very on topic with that is back to the strikes too. WGA SAG striking. We're also recording this July 18th, just in case anything has changed. But I mean, the DGA settling, it's just very funny in all of this, because they could have got such a better deal, but they wanted to, you know, they got the deal they got, but they could have had gotten a lot more with collective bargaining power of teaming up with SAG and WGA. So again, don't sell yourself out, I think, as Julia said, or sell yourself short, because I mean, there was some like TikTok. I'm always on TikTok. It's an issue, but like Denzel Washington was talking about like the first four roles you take to like set the tone. Right. And I think that's the other thing too. Like, not everything that's gifted to you is going to be the right gift. So being discerning of what that looks like, especially as we've seen in the internet present, is out of context, right? Like, seeing how this looks like just removed from the role or the movie is,
And I think, again, with the Venus retrograde values thing happening in the background, it's, are these like looking for right sized opportunities? I can give you a great deal on a Lamborghini. Does that mean anything to you? You can't afford it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So like, if I can get you a used car and get you a good deal on that, that's a right size opportunity. You should jump on it. But if you're just being offered a golden platter and you're like, well, I can't afford seafood tower money. Like, no, we're managing things that are too good to be true. Things that don't work. What we may want in the future, and preparing for those things and knowing who those people are. But no, we can't do that right now.
Mm-hmm. The next day on the 28th, we get Mercury moving into Virgo. Too, which I think is that like kind of Venus. I think that Venus send off, again, it's still retrograde, but having that be the final kind of transit that we have with Mercury and Leo is that like, all right, now we're like sending our informant, our data person out into this next thing. And we're going into Virgo to kind of start synthesizing, start organizing, start putting that together. And I think coming from whatever is kind of, I don't want to say revealed necessarily, because I can't say what that will be. But I think that that's interesting, then having Virgo next going, okay, how do we make sense of this? How do we process this? What does that mean for the rest of the kind of setup?
Yeah. Virgo is like such great, like, you know, following Leo with like the grandiosity, and then being like, kind of back to what we were talking about, like, so how do we do that? What's coming in? What's going out? How is this functioning? It's like getting into those facts. And of course, we'll have a Mercury retrograde, not in Leo season, but just after. So we're getting maybe a little taste too of what might come up in this Mercury retrograde time.
And we enter the shadow pretty quick. I don't want to get ahead of where we're at because there are some transits mm-hmm. before we get to that shadow period. But we do enter the shadow on the 4th of August. So we move into Virgo on the 28th. And a few days later, we are already in the shadow period of Mercury retrograde. It will still be direct. But I think that what's going on there is of note. We're going to be kind of getting some info pretty quick, it feels like.
Yeah. And we have a full moon happening too on the 1st. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a good time to kind of get your releasing done. We'll do a full episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/ What's Your Sign podcast.
And fun fact, blue moon at the end of the month in Virgo season. So we'll have two full moons in August, which is cute. August 30th. So we'll really be starting and ending August with this releasing moon energy. So mm-hmm. something to note, because I feel like that, especially as we're, you know, again, flash forwarding Mercury retrograde and still Venus retrograde, it feels very like, again, making space, letting go, do these out, just, is this mm-hmm. even your style anymore? You know, like all of those sorts of mm-hmm. things. Like when you see an outfit and you're like, this is cute, but it looks like 2017. You know, like this, like, it feels like not me anymore.
I know too, during this time, and it kind of goes from July 30th to August 13th. There's different ones, and I'm sure there's other ones I'm not aware of, but it's like meteor shower time too. So it's like things sparkling gorgeous. In the sky, a bunch of like missing pieces type of energy. I feel like happening again, background info.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Cause again, I think that there is going to be just like moments. It's going to be frustrating because it's a fixed season. It's always fixed seasons, I think, are always have the potential to be more frustrating because it's immovable. It's the stuff that like are non-negotiables. And again, we're like all of this is so literal too, but those things of it being like, yeah, I think it's not necessarily gonna be a time when you're feeling like, oh, I'm getting what I want. I'm getting these projects going. I'm feeling forward motion. But I think that if you are able to, again, be patient and negotiate what you can and can't do around those non-negotiables, there's going to be moments when like it's sparkling in the sky, when we have these moments for release. And so I think just to keep all of those things in mind, that it's like there are small wonders that keep us kind of going and remind us that we're in the right place and doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Also on that full moon, we have a Mars trine to Jupiter. Mars will be in Virgo, trine to Jupiter in Taurus. And then we do have a Mercury opposite Saturn, which is a little tense, but I think that, you know, it's a full moon. We're feeling oppositional. And I think having that trine to Jupiter from Mars is nice.
Mm-hmm. I think too, since we've had this Mars opposition, Saturn opposition sort of season, or like a lot of, you know, Saturn, you know, makes sense. It's in Pisces. It's far away from our half point signs of, I think when Saturn so far, it does give a lot of permission to not be tied to the format of how things happen or the steps of how you got there. Like, I think, I know it can be hard and feel like aimless or driftless, or like we need that Saturn guidance, but I think that there can be something fun into like not being tied to being right, just like giving something a shot, especially in this very pro experimenting. Like, you don't need to show it time. Like, this can be just for you.
Mm-hmm. On the 6th of August, we have a square from the Sun in Leo to Jupiter in Taurus, which I think isn't terrible necessarily. You know, I think that the square energy, I don't know, a Jupiter square to me is less concerning than another square, if that makes sense. I think that this can be a little more like, I don't know, fun, but not necessarily. But I think it also could be, again, some kind of like you know, messages from wanting from billionaires that are upsetting to me. It's just kind of like the vibe that I get,
ego is, abundance check.
Yes,
it makes ego me out of think check. Of like possibly the only thing, it just like just came up like a flash, but like something like, again, really see new things during this time. Again, not fully recommended, but if you did, it feels like not getting the full credit Two, I think with the sun being so much of the self and what we're doing and Jupiter being this far reach, it feels like someone kind of saying your joke louder sort of day. So mm-hmm. I think just a note, just to be mindful of like, we mm-hmm. might have to say like, no, that was me. Like, that was me. Like that, you know, it depends on the situation. Like, don't be a dick and don't be like, yeah, this is all me. No help if you had the help. But I think if there is something that you're tied to it being very you, there might be some like more cooks in the kitchen sort of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Cooks in the kitchen, yeah. Getting in your fucking way, more like mm-hmm. like move, god damn it.
Mm-hmm. On the 9th of August, we have a Venus square to Uranus, which we have had as a kind of signature transit for this Venus retrograde. Mm-hmm. And Uranus, as it moves slow, we've had some action at this same degree. This is the same place where that Mercury square was earlier in the month. I mean, in at the end of July. We also have a Mercury trine to Jupiter that day. And so I think kind of continuing the Mercury story where we're getting some support from some earthy kind of like motion movement, hard data facts kind of things. This Venus square Uranus, I think thinking of Venus retrograde and really going back to our discussion about it being about consensus and about that, this can, I think, be a place where the dissenting side, while it might not be in alignment with what is like conventionally
accepted, right,
we may have the data on our side or the support of the information or just of like reality around us sort of thing. So I don't know, again, what that will pertain to necessarily, but I can see it being, you know, just kind of some values being out of step with what the reality of our situations are.
Mm-hmm. Again, feels very, and I think that's the Leo theme in general, especially with this fixed squaredness and then this positive aspect from Mercury to Jupiter, is it feels very like advocating for yourself, again, back to like what you will and won't do, like what, where you see yourself going. Like there does seem to be an encouragement to like, you know, Jupiter being this like biggest picture version and Mercury like expressing it in a very like tangible way. But then also like, it feels like what you will and won't do at the same time, right? Like having that checks and balances of both.
I think it's saying it too.
Yeah.
It's like being able to say it, or like being finally being able to be like I had to have this conversation with my husband recently where I was like, the reason this bothers me is because of this. And I haven't been able to say it for however long, but it's this. And so, you know, like that helps, knowing it, like finding it out and then being able to tell somebody, like it helps regardless of what the situation is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that does feel not necessarily compromisey, but growth in the way where you could, like you said, if you were able to express that, how does that then amplify what you're able to do together with that trine to Jupiter, and how it's like, oh, that could be, you know, negotiation talks of some sort, or even just like, oh, I understand where you're coming from now. Okay,
now I can fight for you, now that I know why it's not just a I don't wanna or whatever, you know.
Yes, exactly. Okay. On the 12th of August, we have a sun trine to Chiron. Again, which one feels like one of those moments where you've kind of held out a bit, and this being one of those maybe relief points. I know it's to Chiron, and so that's maybe not what you would initially think, but I do think it is like, I don't know, healing and a way to maybe feel like you are using whatever wounding or anything like that for good and for growth, and in a way that you can kind of use instead of be just hurt by constantly, you know.
I think Chiron, which, you know, we talk about a lot, is when not ignored, when addressed, when like utilized, it can be really powerful, especially in these fiery times. And as we mentioned, Chiron will be retrograde too, so there might be a different, I don't know, maybe like a more open heart too, like it's safe, it's okay, like no one's grading this, you know, thing that you're that you're doing. And if they are, like, why are you, you know, keeping tabs on me in such a way? So I think there's something really inviting to be open, which is pretty nice for the following day as well with the Kazemi.
Mm-hmm. The next day
we have Kazemi.
Yeah, the next day we have a Sun Venus conjunction at 20 degrees and 28 minutes of Leo. Yeah, I think, again, another one where it's like the sun supporting that Venus retrograde. You know, it's Venus isn't at full strength, but the sun is there and the sun sign. And I like it.
It's obscuring it, too. So I like it for certain things and not for others, because mm-hmm. I think if we're talking about Venus in the value sense, like obscure, not great. You know, yeah. Not knowing where the self ends and the moral begins, not great. But if we're talking about Venus in the, like, cleaning out our closet sense, the physical sense, like, some of that stuff is like, oh, yeah, I can, this is not me anymore. Like, this outfit is not me anymore. Like, easy, get rid, you know, mm-hmm. instead of holding on to my mom gave me that or, you know, whatever, like, someone else picked that out for me, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very there's a generosity or I don't know, yeah. Something that feels like, and I love retrograde is like maybe doing it a little differently than we have before. I mean, we're already in the ripe waters to do it. So why not? Yeah, like be the one that takes your love on, if they are always the one planning, like you take them on a date night or yeah, you see something for someone, you get them like a little token of your affection. It's very sharing.
It does make me think of when you said of that obscuring the values thing, it does make me think of like a not bandwagon. It's not that. I was thinking of like Live Strong bracelets or something mm-hmm. like that, where someone's able to like get on board with a cause, but not actually supporting in that way or whatever, where there might be some sort of thing where people are able to kind of like show up for something in a more performative way, but not actually in a way that they align with the values. I don't know. That would be interesting if there's any kind of like, I don't know. I'm seeing it's giving merch to me.
I also okay. think, yeah, this is another
pink
day.
Pussy hat possible.
Yes, yes, that kind of thing.
Are we going to get our first celebrity SAG video of them singing like the We Are the World?
Yes, that's it, something like that.
I also think this is a don't believe everything you read transit. Like, yes, it might be a beautiful day to like enjoy nature and whatever, but I don't think it's a beautiful day to be online or be, you know, trying to get correct news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what day of the week? Is that a Sunday? Sunday. Yeah,
it is.
A Sunday.
Yeah.
And again, I think a good reminder for planetary days too with the sun and Leo, which is a sun sign, and Sundays, the sun is good for whatever you want to channel into. If it's a day of rest, planning your garden, cool. If it's like doing something more social, great. I think that's like the sun can be harnessed forever you want to. If it's just napping in the sun, right on. So I think it's a choose your own adventure as well. So whatever just feels right in your heart.
Hell yeah. And then the following day, the 14th, we get a Venus trine to Chiron at that same 19 degrees, a few minutes, 45 minutes instead of 47 on the as we'd had on the 12th. But I think that, again, having that meetup too of it, maybe having to like, I don't know, backtrack after this Kazemi day, or just going like, oh, I did that because I felt this, and having some kind of breakthrough,
a
breakthrough mm-hmm. around how we decide our values, how we assert ourselves and our values in an embodied kind of way too. But I think, again, is like, I think that's nice, this kind of trio of these things there, having that right kind of buffered both sides by Chiron feels like it's not going to let anybody get too far out of control, if that makes sense, hopefully.
Yeah, I like that.
On the 15th of August, we have a sun square to Uranus. It's classic. Uranus square. You know, we're in there again, just as we think we've got it all figured out and settled down, we get another upset from Uranus. But I also think that that is, you know, by design, or again, a reminder to for us to be staying in touch with our own inner sense of stability and security and all of those kind of fixed things within us, knowing that we are the kind of fire generator of that, not the outside. But you know, could be a frustrating day. Could be some ego clashes and
difficult traveling day. If you're traveling that day, definitely have everything in order. Just unexpected, I think, you know, kind of things popping up. But it also forms the background for the following day. There's a new moon. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, we'll obviously get more into that on our Patreon as well.
Mm-hmm. And we finally get, I mean, not finally, but we get in that new moon chart, which is happening at 23 degrees and 17 minutes of Leo. We're going to get a Mars trine to Uranus. So we're going to get a little supportive Uranus energy in there. So I do think like unexpected, how we're able to like roll with those unexpected things could again then lead to like, oh, I'm more capable than I thought. I am more stable than I thought. I am more, you know, self-possessed, whatever that is there, I think is kind of nice for a new moon.
Mm-hmm. And I'm backtracking one day just a little, only because I have a random asteroid to throw in here for August 15th is we'll have Juno move into Leo as well. So Juno is our asteroid that can be about commitment, relationships, even marriages, which again feels just very fitting in the themes that we've been talking about with Leo and sharing yourself. You know, the more you're yourself, the more others can be themselves too. So I think that there's also like a cute little splash of like, oh, like who's making you feel like yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the 22nd of August, we get a Venus square to Jupiter at 15 degrees and 18 minutes of Leo and Taurus, respectively. And on that same day, we have a Mars opposite Neptune, Mars in Virgo, opposite Neptune in Pisces. I think Venus square to Jupiter is, again, like I was saying, those kind of squares to Jupiter, that could be a kind of nice day, but I don't like this Mars opposite Neptune.
I think this is another one where it's like, what are the rules? What's happening? I'm not sure.
Oh, you made your own rules. Oh, you were told something different than I was. Great.
Mm-hmm. Knowing which rules we've made and which ones we're following and all of that kind of stuff, which is really difficult because sometimes you have to go to work. You didn't make that rule, but the rule you make for yourself is I get up at this time to go. Or I drive or I do what I take public transit or whatever you do.
Mm-hmm. I think it was on like the Venus retrograde astrology podcast, which we think I talked about on Venus retrograde too, but I was a late listener to it, but it was like Venus being like the social norms and rules where Jupiter being the law, which is interesting. Cause I never really thought about Jupiter as like a litigious planet. Mm-hmm. I guess think more of like Saturn with rules, but rules are different than laws and are different than like social norms. So I think Venus being like, we have this social contract, like that's what you know, you don't like barf, you don't sneeze on people, like you sneeze into your elbow, like those sorts of things too. So people might just be like, maybe on their worst behavior, like on like wacky behavior.
And why do we have these laws? Why do we have laws against murder? Right. It's because societally we have decided that is not okay to take someone's life, you know? So it's like, and we've also nuanced it to, well, premeditated this versus like accidental, you know, like manslaughter type thing. So those are all based on social norms that they don't always reflect them. And so I think, especially with what's happening right now in Supreme Court stuff, we're seeing that stuff. Hey, this isn't the consensus. You're making laws that aren't in line, that are square to our values as a society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that wraps Leo season. The next day on the 23rd, the sun moves into Virgo and Mercury stations retrograde same day. So we really are, I think, I kind of like that Mercury retrograde station right after all of that to go like, wait, do we really mean this? Like, or like, what is that? Can we take any of this back? Or like, let's get a second draft.
The last Mercury retrograde we had in Taurus also started at the very beginning of the sun sign. So if you're looking for what this Mercury retrograde might mean for you and you're looking ahead to Virgo season, you can look back, especially since, like we said, we're having a lot of stuff squaring Jupiter, Uranus, and Taurus. So looking back to that time and seeing what was going on then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because, you know, we won't have Mercury retrograde technically. Like this Leo season's just Venus retrograde, right? Yeah. And then come Virgo season, we'll have it truly kicking off with Mercury retrograde and Venus retrograde. Then Venus retrograde ends September 3rd, and we'll have, you know, still shadow period. We'll still be Mercury retrograde till the 15th. All that to say, if there's like contracts, agreements, of course, we always double, triple check those during Mercury retrograde. But when Venus is also a little funky with the money situation, you know, you already know where I'm getting at. So I think it's again, doesn't mean life stops. It just means like check your shit because the weather is a little bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I don't know. There's something like I'm kind of excited to like in very. And I think Leos are really good at wholeheartedly when it's a yes, it's a yes. And when it's a no, like that's living by the heart. And I'm kind of excited to be like, no, I like want to finish this book. You know, like I want to say, I just want to lay in the park and spend no more than $8 today. Like I'm going to have, I think it's going to be a really good boundary lesson as well of what you're willing to do and not do. And like, also just what sounds fun. Like Leo is childlike sensibilities, it's games, it's pleasure. I think this could be a great time to, again, if you're like, fuck, how do you have fun for cheap? Like driving ranges are pretty cheap, you know, like renting a kayak or something. Like just there's ways to entertain ourselves that isn't just spending like $100, you know, to like get one taco somewhere. The budget life is hitting you, which I'm guessing it's been hitting a lot of us. And if it hasn't, again, please sign up for our patreon.com. Also, you know, telling your friends about us, writing reviews, those are great free ways to support the pod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, happy Leo season.
Yeesh.
We love ya.
Love ya. Gotta love ya.
We gotta. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Your Sign? Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love this podcast, please support us. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. The link to support us is in the show notes.
Follow us on Instagram at What's Your Sign Podcast, on Twitter at @whatsyrsign_pod, and TikTok at What's Your Sign Podcast. For business opportunities, advertising, or commission readings, email us whatsyoursignpodcast@gmail.com.
WYS is produced by Julia Loken, Stevie Anderson, and Lisa Chanu. Artwork by Alexa Vicious and theme song by Honor Nezzo.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.